Welcome this morning as we go into the Word of God, continuing our series on the subject of the new creature in Christ Jesus. I think I have a testimony here I want to read out, sent by someone. And she, I believe, said this. So let me just quickly read out the testimony. Good morning, Pastor Boju. My name is Lizzie. I'm here to return all the glory to God for his faithfulness. Exactly 1 year ago, on Tuesday, the 8th of July, 2025, I received the most devastating call of my life. The night before, I had spoken with my fiancé, who now my husband, till 11 p.m., that's West African time. The next morning, I felt the urge to call him earlier than usual at 6:30 a.m. When I did, he couldn't speak. He had suffered a severe stroke caused by bleeding in the brain. His blood pressure was critically high. He had lost his speech and mobility from head to toe, and he was admitted to the ICU in Poland. Just before this happened, my husband had experienced the disappointment of having a job offer withdrawn only weeks before he was due to resume. We didn't understand why God allowed it, but later we realized he was already working behind the scenes. Shortly afterwards, God gave him an even better job, the very one he had resumed just 2 days before the stroke. Looking back, I know that if he had been in the previous role, he likely would have lost his job. God had already gone ahead of us. At that moment, I remembered your teaching that our first response to bad news matters. Instead of accepting defeat, I began declaring God's word. I refused to lose my husband. The doctor said the recovery could take at least 2 years and 6 months to even leave the hospital and even discuss the possibility of brain surgery. But God had the final say. Through the early morning prayers in TCN, my family and everyone who stood with us holding a prayer chain, God performed a miracle. My husband was discharged in 2 months. The medical team said they had never seen such a speedy recovery, even though they fear a relapse, as it seems too good to be true. God's faithfulness didn't stop there. We feared he would lose his new job, but his employer stood by him. They paid his full salary throughout his hospitalization, covering over 48 million naira worth of medical treatment through insurance, gave him all the time he needed to recover and welcomed him back to work. Then God crowned it with supernatural provision. We got married in December 2025, and his bosses traveled all the way from Europe to attend our wedding and came bearing gifts too. Today, my husband is working, speaking, back at work, still improving every day, and God has blessed us financially in our careers in all spheres. Looking back, I can boldly say that what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for our good. I also want to thank you for consistently teaching us to stand on God's word. Those teachings strengthened my faith and carried me through one of the hardest seasons in my life. Church, please help me say thank you, Jesus. To him alone be all the glory. All right, let's take a confession this morning as we get into the word. One, two, go. As I sit to listen to the word of God today, a door of utterance has been opened unto me, and I hear the voice of God clearly speaking to me. This is the way to go, walk ye in it. I listen under the influence of the Spirit of God, and I am not distracted by anything or anyone. The word of God is food to my spirit. I am strengthened by it this morning. It is wine to my heart, creating joy within me. It is oil to my face, causing my life to shine, giving me victory in everything that I do. As my eyes make contact with the scriptures used in this message, the Spirit of God opens new things to me. He also brings to my remembrance things Jesus once showed me. I come to understand God's system on the earth, and I receive instruction, encouragement, correction, and the enablement to live out God's will. Amen. All right, today I want to continue our series on the subject of that new creature in Christ Jesus, in whom all things have passed away and all things have become new. And today I want to entitle the message that I am preaching, God wants to bring us into his fraternity, or God's intention is to bring us, humanity, into his fraternity. When we say fraternity, people might think that that's a negative word, but the definition of a fraternity is a voluntary association of people united by common goals and shared values. In other words, God wants to bring us, all right, into the fraternity of the Godhead, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to be a part and parcel of that particular fraternity. In other words, when he wants to do anything, all right, there is consultation and talks with you about it and reveals and become a vessel through which he expresses himself on the earth. And this was really heavy on the heart of Jesus when he was on the earth. He kept speaking about this unity, that the Father in me, I in the Father, you in me, and I in you. In other words, he kept on that interwoven discourse of him being in the Father being in him, him being in us, and we also being in him, that we all might be one, even as they are one. And so we see in John chapter 17 and verse 21, it speaks and says in John 17 verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So he wants us to be one in them. The same way the Father is in him and he in the Father, that's the same way we are in him and him also in us. And in that fraternity in John chapter 5 and verse 19, it tells us, you know, somewhat of how they do their things. Then answered Jesus and said unto him, verily I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, this also the Son likewise. Somewhere else, I think he told, was it Philip? He said, you marvel at these things. He said, the Father will show me greater works than these, that I may be able to do these greater works. So here he speaks about the Father. I do nothing of my own self. All right. But as the Father has shown me, so also do I do. So when we're in Christ, this becomes our own lifestyle also. We do nothing of our own selves, but as Jesus has shown us, and that's what the Holy Spirit does on the inside of us, he takes the things of Jesus and shows them unto us. And in every single situation, I want to repeat here, in every single situation, there are the things of Jesus that the Holy Spirit can show you and wants to show you. And he says, this is the life I want you now to live, which means in this fraternity, you have been crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, you are alive, yet it is not you, but Christ that now lives on the inside of you. Which means the life you now live in this flesh, you live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. So this thing is interwoven. In other words, you don't have your own life to live anymore, but you have his own life to live on this earth. You have his own adventure to go into. You have his own work to continue on this earth. So we see in John chapter 8 and verse 28, one of the guiding principles of this fraternity. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, speak I these things. I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, speak I, he said, these things. Then put that together with John 16 and verse 13. Hear what Jesus said. Now, hear what the Spirit is, or what they say about the Spirit. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak also of himself. There's the Holy Spirit. Jesus also said, let's go back, John 8:28. He said, let's go back. He said, I do nothing of myself. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself there. Which means it doesn't just originate in me. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And then we look at John 16, verse 13. It says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things that are to come. So we begin to understand, all right, how they behave in this fraternity here, which means in this network and family you have entered into, the culture of that family. They don't just initiate things by themselves. That is, it is the Father there that is dictating the pace. It is the Father that is revealing what you are going to do. That Jesus himself said, as the Father has taught me, as the Father has shown me, so I speak what he has taught. So I do what he also is doing. So we see in John 7 verse 18, it gives us the cardinal point here in the culture. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Which means that person is seeking, and nobody in that network there seeks their own glory. He that speaketh of himself is seeking his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, all right, that sent him, the same is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So we seek the glory of the Father. We seek the glory, all right, of the Son. So we don't just speak of ourselves. We don't just act, all right, of our own selves. So he wants to bring us to be a part of this, so that we can give expression to the thoughts of the Father on every single subject matter. In other words, it's the thoughts of the Father in every single subject matter. So if you are in an office there, all right, you have access to the thoughts of God on that subject matter there. And we are talking about the Logos of God. The Logos of God there is what you will term as the summation of the intelligence and the thoughts of God. You have access to these thoughts. This is a fraternity here. In other words, because you belong here, you give expression to those thoughts in whatever situation that you are in. You give expression. Even if we just think about one element of his creation, which is just the human body. We are not even talking about the stars. We are not talking about the galaxy. We are not talking about the animal kingdom. We are not talking about the plant kingdom there. All right? All of the complexities that come in creating an ecosystem on the earth where everything balances the intelligent. This is what you now have access to. Even if we look at just the human body and you look at the different parts of the body, how they are coordinated to keep a person alive. And then you look at each part of the body, independent of that part, in its own function, is intelligent. And then you bring them that they are working together is another level of intelligence. This is what he says, I'm bringing you as a new creature in Christ to have access to be able to express this thought here on the earth, all right? To have access to those thoughts. If you're a business person, you have access to those thoughts, all right, in your business. This is what we're talking about. A person in marriage has access to those thoughts there in what they do. So I want to start looking at how we begin to access, all right, this thought. We saw, all right, people in scripture access the intelligence of God. And every time a thought from heaven manifest or from God manifest on the earth is described as wonderful works that cause people to be astonished. In fact, Jesus said, "This thing shall be done that you may marvel." In other words, the intent is to cause people to marvel so that it becomes the major attraction that people also want to belong to this fraternity here. So in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, God is the one who is at work in you, both for you to will, which means you are not willing anything for your own self now, both for you to will and to do of his own good pleasure. But it tells us this, my will for your life here is exceedingly abundantly above anything that you as a person can ask or can imagine, which means it is exceedingly abundantly above. In fact, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. It says, for you know not what to pray for as you ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And that's what you want to get. All right? The mind of the Spirit. For he is making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So in John 17 and verse 20, he goes on and talks about this interwoven life between us. All right? Sorry. It's John 14. All right, let's look at verse 17. Okay, whom will you receive? And then if you go down to verse 20. Aha, that's it now. Well, isn't that what I said? Oh, I said John 17, verse 20. All right. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. So he wants that unity here. That we are all one. That is, if they see you do something, that's Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus will do. So they are bringing us in so that now you may become, hear this, the brightness of his glory on the earth and the express image of his person. So on this earth, you now become the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Because you are created, brightness of his glory means his likeness. You are created in his image after his likeness. So you are like him. And you are created in that image, in righteousness and true holiness, so that you should be the express image of his person. And you should be the brightness of his glory. Paul said, this is my gospel that I preach. God manifests in flesh. The mystery of godliness. God himself manifests in flesh here. So that is the dimension. It's not that a person here is begging God. No. It's that you have come into that fraternity there where the cost is simple. You gave up your will permanently on any subject matter. In other words, this is the cost to manifest divinity in your mortal flesh. You give up your will. And you can see from the interaction of Jesus on this earth, except you don't belong to that family. The Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. What he hears, he speaks. Jesus does not do anything by himself. It's what the Father has shown him that also does he do. In other words, when you are in any situation, like David said, this is my desire to inquire of the Lord and to find out what his will is. Not to go to him to tell him that this is what I think you should do on this earth. And then we now use, all right, principles to try to manipulate God. That's your sins to be God. That's what you're doing. To get him to do your own will. Now you have to surrender there to him and understand it is not my will. And taste and see that the Lord is good. That is, experience God. Let God have his way. It tells us no prophecy of scripture is of private interpretation. It tells us for no prophecy of old came, all right, next verse, by the will of man of old time. No man willed it, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And so what stops a move of the Spirit in our lives is when we put our will in it. So if you want to have a move of the Spirit in your own life, then what you do is that you open up yourself unto God. And it's the cross. And you say, not my will, but let your will be done in this situation. The whole essence of prayer is that thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That's the definition of prayer. So you put your trust in God, knowing that he's good and his mercy endureth forever. And that whatever plan he has in his heart is way beyond anything that you can imagine there. That you can't light this world. I mean, somebody who created the sun, someone who created the moon, you see all the stars. Nothing in your imagination there can touch any of these things that he created. Even the human being beside you can't, even the ants you can't create. So how now you say that is what you are thinking? When he gave you the brain and his breath is how you think. And you come to the conclusion, we just messed up the whole thing of the faith message because people didn't want to embrace the cross. And it's not my will, but let your will be done in this particular situation. And there, all right, you enter into the flow of the Holy Spirit. So we give up in any situation and become a vessel that expresses the thoughts of God and the will of God in that place. Which means I am now a vessel that will express the thoughts of God. And I am a vessel that will express the will of God in this particular situation. That's what I'm positioned to do. So we build a solid consciousness. And this is where we get into the message of our unity with the Spirit of God. And this is where I'm going. A solid consciousness that you and Jesus are one. That the Holy Spirit is the life force that is on the inside of you, expressing himself in and through you with his thoughts and his will, his wisdom and his power. It is a declaration continuous of your unity, the inseparableness between you and the Godhead, which means he has engraven you upon the palms of his hands. And your walls are continuously before him. That it's a declaration of that. Your unity in him in all things. That he dwells inside you. That he lives on the inside of you. That he is with you. That you are one spirit together with him. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. It says that he that is joined to the Lord, all right, is one spirit. In other words, you are now one spirit with Jesus. That the Bible says you are a joint heir, all right, with Christ. Joint heir. Co-signatory. In other words, Jesus is saying that for anything to clear on this earth, I have to find a human being that will be a co-signatory, that I've signed it in heaven, the check, but somebody has to put their signature on the earth, all right? And when you put, which means you've made yourself a joint heir, then you will come to understand the scripture. When he says that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if he hears us, we have those things, all right, that we have desired of him in 1 John. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. But then when we get to just the confidence we have, ask anything. But when we get to John chapter 15 and verse 7, It now says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, Jesus was talking that about a union of wills, which means your own will has now been united with the will of the Father. For God is the one who is at work in you both to will. And he said the way he gets you to will the same thing as him is what he started saying in John 15 and verse 7. When he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, it means your will has now become my will. Now, for there to be a performance, remember that he's at work both for you to will and then to do. He says, in order for there to be a performance there, the will of that person and my will must merge together. And the way that happens is that you abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, there's a constant declaration of the thoughts of God you have found in the scripture, the promises of God you have found in the scriptures, the things that the scriptures have said concerning your life, until it has entered into your heart and adjusted your will. And you will have to give up fear. You'll have to give up small thinking, because the will of God are big thoughts. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. These promises that he has made are exceeding great and precious promises. It will take an expansion of your thinking. It will take, all right, of you thinking beyond your borders. Because when he comes with his thoughts, they are big ideas. He doesn't come with something small. And so there's that restraint, even in people, to accept the thoughts of God because of fear, to accept that he wants to do great and mighty things through you that will cause others to marvel. You have to embrace this thought. You can't be just be saying that, you know, you're on survival mode. Embrace this thought. Has nothing to do with the environment, all right, in which you are in. He wants to prove that inside that environment, I remain, all right, as God. Inside the covenant, let me tell you this, God never subjected the well-being of his children to any government on the earth. He says, I will take care of my children regardless of the environment in which they find themselves. Go and read it in Psalm 104 there. He says, it's directly from me to you. And so you accept his thoughts there. You accept, all right, the things that he wants to do. And you do that by what he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The word there is rhema. And a rhema is not the quickened word of God. All right? The logos is the quickened word of God. The rhema is the voicing out, the speaking forth of the word of God that is quickened. In other words, he says, if you abide in me and you start speaking forth, everything, single thing I've quickened unto you. That you open up your book where you've written things that I quickened when you got, and you start speaking those things forth. He says that it will be a two-edged sword in your lips. It will get into your heart. It will adjust your will. And you'll come to a place where your will is now my will. He says, then you can now enter into prayer for the performance, which means until I make your will my will, then we can get to the next thing, which is to do. In other words, for me to do, I must first bring your will in alignment with my will. And he said the method of doing that is that you abide in me and my words abide in you. And then we can now come to the subject there of entering into prayer where there will be a performance of it. E.W. Kenyon put it this way. He said, when the mouth and the heart are in perfect agreement, he said, then you will see unprecedented power that is released through prayer. In other words, the prayer that produces unprecedented power is a prayer that a human being is praying, having known what the will of God is in that situation. That's why when he says Elijah was a man of like passion, but he was a righteous man. And Elijah said, I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It wasn't his idea. It was God's idea that he prayed forth. And we saw powerful things, all right, that happened in that particular situation. So we declare that I am the embodiment of the will of God on the earth, because I am united with Christ Jesus. that I am the embodiment of the will of God, that you acknowledge, we've said this, the presence of the Spirit inside you and the fact that he is with you forever, and that you give expression to the thoughts of God in every situation, that your confession is a declaration of perfect alignment with God, that this thing that I'm doing with my hand is going to be a direct reflection here of the thoughts of God for a person who is involved in something like this within this environment here. That is, you declare, you give expression to his thoughts in every situation, producing wonderful works in your life that amazes people. This is your declaration. That God is in at work in you, both for you to will and also to do of his good pleasure. That he shows you greater works every single day beyond what you are doing, so that others may marvel at this. And so you begin to affirm in your consciousness here, your unity with the Spirit of God. The fact that the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead is now the life that is inside you. You sit inside your room and affirm that that Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who has opened the eyes of your understanding and made the book, the Bible, a book that is now unsealed, through which you see the wonderful works of God. You sit inside your room and you begin to declare these powerful things here. That he is the Spirit that has strengthened you in your inner man, and that you are a personification of the strength of God in flesh. All right? The might of God is at work on the inside of you. These are the things that you're saying, because once you begin to get conscious of something and you start getting conscious of something that you have, it begins to influence things, all right, within your life. You know, he says, acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. It tells us in Job 22:21, he says, so shall good come unto thee, which means acquaint, bring your own self. That's what he says. He says, God has reconciled you unto himself. Now you reconcile yourself unto God. Accept who he says you are. Accept what he has made you. He says, acquaint. He says, be at peace. He says, so shall good come unto thee. That's how good things, which means when a person is acquainted, he doesn't expect bad things to happen to them. All right, they expect, and that expectation, all right, begins to come. You know, there was a businessman, I read about this man here, all right, at the turn of the century. This must have been maybe 1940 something. And this man was growing old, and he told a friend of his in a conversation. He said in this conversation, and this man was writing and said, if the Christians will understand the practicality of the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of men, he said, people will come from everywhere to come and learn the law of the Spirit of life. And this man said, if this law of the Spirit is actually correct, I am getting old. Ideas are coming to me, you know, not as frequent as they used to come. He said, but if I can make contact with the Spirit of God, he must have ideas in abundance and in store that he can disclose one of them to me that I can deploy in this business that I'm doing. He said he was already going down, his business had gone. He says, I can deploy this thing and life will come back into this thing. And I'll begin, he said, if I can make just contact with the Spirit of God there, because he must have it. And David spoke about it in Psalm 40 and verse 5. He said, oh, thy wonderful works that you have. He says, thou hast done. Thy thoughts which are to us what cannot be reckoned up in order. In other words, he has thoughts that he wants to communicate. He says, the thoughts that I have towards you are thoughts of peace. That word means shalom, peace, prosperity, harmony, and prosperity. He says, and not of evil to give you an expected end. So he said he had a conversation with the man and the man left. About a year later, he met a mutual friend and asked, what has happened to our friend, Mr. A? Let's just say this here. He was in a discussion with me. He said, oh, do you see that company there? I said, yes. that has suddenly shot up and they have this massive product, said yes. He said Mr. A was the one who came with that big idea, that product that is now brought life and this. And this is what God wants to do here. The altars of God are the place where ideas are born. And the Holy Spirit, if you are in union there and you receive him and identify with him, will begin to supply these kinds of thoughts to you that you may make use of these thoughts, all right, in the things that you are doing. So the key is to develop a consciousness of his presence in you. The key is to awaken that on the inside of you. To talk about the unity. You can't see him, but he's there. John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, verse 17. He says, but the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells in with you and shall be in you. So you receive him, which means you acknowledge the mighty presence of that unseen one, but he's real on the inside. And you know the way he begins to manifest his presence, thoughts, all right, ideas. That's how he begins to manifest his presence. He says that no man knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. He says, as no man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that man. And we have received not the spirit of man, but the spirit who is of God, or spirit of his world, but the spirit of God, that we may know the thoughts that are freely given to us of God. Those what things there are the thoughts that are freely given. And the Bible says the Spirit of God has revealed the deep thoughts of God. All right. That's what he's there to reveal, the deep thoughts of God to us, so we can implement it in a situation. So a person talks all night and catches nothing, then gets a thought and an idea from God, and then implements that idea. And he wants to do this, all right, in practice there. But we do it. The key is to develop a consciousness of his presence in you and your unity with him as a vessel that is solely on this earth to express the thoughts of God in every given situation. I repeat, solely on this earth, which means you have long surrendered your will and say, it is not my will that is being done here, but it's the will and the thoughts of God that will be made manifest in this situation. Now, let me just close by showing something here, because the Godhead operates in everything. And in creation, we have the Godhead who is in operation. And you have the Spirit, you have the Father, the Spirit, and the Son in operation. Now, when we get to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, I just want to show something. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right? So he created it in the dateless time past. And the next verse, now this heaven is talking about is the sky. Okay? Galaxies, not heaven where he resides. That's the heavens. Okay? And the earth. The earth is this material universe. All right? Next verse. And the earth was without form and void. That word was means became. So something happened on the earth. It didn't touch the heavens. It didn't touch the stars. Whatever happened, happened in this on the earth here. It didn't touch the clouds. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So it's believed, and it's in scripture, that Lucifer was there first in the garden, and his rebellion, God brought a flood and destroyed the first earth that existed. We've talked about this. This is why when archaeologists say that they found some bones that are 500,000 years old, they mean they are not lying. All right, there was life before man came to the earth. It's scriptural. All right, now man has been here for 6,000 years, but the earth has been much longer than man. Okay, so God now created man and brought him to replenish the earth and to change it now. He showed him the garden and said, go into all the earth and replenish, which means your work here is to get this whole earth to look like this garden. Replicate this everywhere. Subdue it. When you say so much, you subdue something, it means inherently that thing there, all right, may not be conforming. Subdue it and replenish the entire earth. Now, so he sent, the next verse there tells us, and the Spirit hovered. He says, and the Spirit moved over the face of the waters. Now, so God created the heavens and the earth. Now he says the Spirit Now, you have an introduction of the Holy Spirit. Then moved over the face of the earth, and God said, let there be what? Light. So the Holy Spirit came, and his own purpose was to give light, which means, and that's what he's still doing now, to reveal. So he reveals to people what the intent of God for that particular situation. Now, God therefore now says in Genesis 1:26, let us create man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the face and all of that. Verse 27 now tells us, and God created man in his image. So we come to the image here. Okay? The Holy Spirit reveals the thoughts there. God creates man in his image. And after his likeness, created them, male, female, created he them. So God created them. Now, when we now get to Genesis 2 and verse 5, we now see another change in name. He says, and of the plant of the field, because before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God. So he was saying God in Genesis 1. Now he says the Lord God. Now he has brought the third person in the Godhead has stepped in. That's why he's the Lord God. And Jesus now comes in here, which means the Holy Spirit played a role of creating light. The Father, all right, in the light of what the Holy Spirit did, that is why I began to make declarations. That is why when we get to 2 Corinthians 4:4, I'll take this up next week, because this how, because he creates light. Without that, no activity starts. He says, in whom the God of his word, the blindness of them that believe not, that's the glorious light. Shall, next verse. It says, verse 6. It says, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give this light of the knowledge of his glory that is found in the face of Jesus. And we have this treasure, the next verse, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, when we get to verse 13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, therefore have I spoke. We also believe. So we are speaking from that light that he has created. So God began to speak and created man. Now, so when we get to Genesis 2 and verse 5 now, it tells us the Lord God, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man from the dust. Now, the word form is different from the word create. So the Father created man with words. Then Jesus came with his hands to form what had been created. And he formed man, and rain began to fall. In other form, fell, so the ground was soft, and then he formed man and breathed into him. And it was like the dirty work, because that was the molding. Now, these three dimensions have to be in your life. Three dimensions. In work, the spirit creates life. You use words to create things. Then you go out to form the things that you have created. And you see that Jesus, even in the Godhead, in dynamics, he's the one that came to the earth to do the dirty work also of dying on the cross. Which means the Spirit of God had a plan. The Father created this thing. Then Jesus comes in the same way he came to form man. He also came to the cross to die. Now, so there are three dimensions there. When a person goes to God there in prayer, the Holy Spirit shows the person what is coming. And that individual therefore now steps into the next thing. You must create what is coming. The word create means you must have the image, which is your imagination. You have to get that image on the inside of yourself, of the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has the thoughts, you see, he wants it imaged. And the way you image it in your consciousness here is with words. That's what the Father did. The Bible says through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So there's a creative process inside you, which means to cause that thing to be inside you. and then you begin to speak. So wherever this church is going on ministry, I should start imaging it within my consciousness. Now, it's when I've started imaging it in my consciousness now that I have become that particular thing. Then you now start seeing the opportunities there for you. That's where the molding comes, for you to do that which you already are. You see, what causes the problem, we'll take it up next week, is that people are working with forms, but the root is they've got to work with him, recreate themselves. Now, they're trying to change forms without having any revelation or creation on the inside, which means it's the same person who is trying to change their life. And that life is a reflection of what is inside the person. So until that creative process, and that happens by a person, all right, standing up, I was saying this in a workers' meeting, we want to move the church to 100,000 people in Lagos coming into our services every single Sunday. So you create that. And what that means is, on the inside of yourself, you see the 100,000 people coming. Among them are children, which you can say, let's say 25,000 of them are children. Now, so in that creation, where are the children? Where's the church of the children going to be? How will those children's church? You are creating that thing on the inside. So you are restructuring. So a person that has that kind of thing there, therefore will go to a place and they say, this is the building, and looks at it and says, this is the hall. The first thing that will come to mind of them, so where's the children going to be? All right. And then they say, oh, what do you mean? No, you can't. It doesn't work that way. Because you've created, because what you want to do is to form now what you've created. Now, so you sit down, you go to the Holy Spirit, he reveals to you what is coming. Then you sit down and go into that recreation. So you become that particular thing there. Now, there's nothing on the outside. You haven't formed anything. I mean, an architect, I was saying this, if they give an architect a bare land, and they tell the architect that, look, all we want here is a five-star hotel, and the architect creates the five-star hotel, that's the work of the architect, creates the five-star hotel there, it becomes real to the architect. The architect can tell you, he'll tell you every detail of that building, will tell you how many steps that you walk in before you enter into the hotel, and tell you exactly where the wheelchair, guys coming on the wheelchair, you want that is going to be. We explain why the doors must open in this particular way. We'll tell you exactly where the lobby is, how many chairs, every detail there. That's that creative process in the imagination. And that's what your imagination was given to you for. Extremely powerful faculty. It's not just a natural thing. And Satan is the one using it to cause people to sin. So it's an extremely powerful faculty. He tells you that there are 12 floors. He knows exactly how the corner suite will be. He has designed the corner, or she has designed it, knows exactly where the toilet, knows everything within their mind. But that land is still bare. And the people coming to form it will build according to that pattern. And so you can't change until you have a pattern. And the people coming to build do the dirty work. The architect can be inside an office and build it AC'd with a tie and all of that, wearing, you know, suspender. It can be dressed in anyhow. But when it's time to build, if the architect is going to go to that site, you are going to get dirty on that site there, because that's where the building of that particular thing is. But it's according to the pattern that has been shown. So the Holy Spirit is the inspiration for that creative process. He's the one that gives you the idea that this is what the Father wants. Then you use words there to create it inside your consciousness. Then when that has happened, the opportunities for the fulfillment of what exists on the inside of you will be granted. The channels will come. Everything will come. And then you enter through that for the fulfillment of it. All right. So there's an acknowledgement of that process and the presence of the Holy Ghost within you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your Spirit, I ask, let this word take deep root into the consciousness of people and bring forth massive fruit in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right, London Summer Word Camp will start on Friday. All right, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. We're going to have 10 sessions of God's Word. two sessions on Friday, six sessions on Saturday, and two sessions on Sunday. Of course, at the Excel Center, so you don't need to leave that convention center to get, and during the breaks, to have refreshment, to have coffee, food, whatever you want. Everything is within that center. All right, and so it's going to be a glorious time, all right, in God's presence there. We have a full house based on the registration that we have seen and the movements that we can see in the spirit realm concerning that particular thing. All right, amen. Now, I have one more announcement, and the teens have, they have really bombarded me, all right? They said they want their summer word camp. So I have an announcement that the summer word camp has been granted. They have come into my DMs. I even think they created bots because I was checking some of those accounts. There'll be zero posts, 10 friends. So I knew that they were creating bots just to say this man must hear what we are saying. I've gotten emails. Now, but I met with a group of you at the beginning who came to approach me. They accosted me, about 10 teenagers. And I had a discussion, and they gave me a guarantee. And this is a guarantee, and I told them. The problem here is that we have a lot of teenagers, and there has to be a certain number that can make it to the camp. 950 only, because there are only 950 beds where we are using. All right? So some people may, I don't know whether may or may not get in. And then there's the backlash of the disappointments that they have, because they didn't get in. We've seen situations where maybe two brothers get in and the sister cannot get in, or the sister gets in, the brother can't get in one family, and the parents come. And I mean, the system, that's just how it is. And the ratio, they made a selection and all of that. So I told them that they will guarantee, and they gave me the guarantee, that whoever doesn't get in, they are the ones that will go and talk to the person and calm the nerves of people, and that it will not get back to me. So the teenagers have given me an assurance that they will manage their peers. Upon that, we have entered into an agreement that you will go ahead with your camp, all right, but you will also manage your own people. That, listen, you talk to them, that's how life is. You win some, you lose some. God has greater things for you in future. So you do that and take that leadership role. Their leaders came to meet me, so I accepted. We came into that agreement. And so I've honored my own part. You to honor your own part. God bless you all, and have a wonderful week in His presence.